Here we go. All right, so here's where we're at. Next religion that we're going to touch is what?
Buddha.
The little fishies. That one? This one? Oh, this one. We'll get there. That, totally not fishies. Nice try. Not fishies. All right, so here we go. We are on... I'm going to get really... There we go. Ah! We're on the Buddha. So, what? Here's what we're going to do, okay? Here we go. We're going to answer... the Buddha question. So, Buddhism, founded 5th century BC by an Indian prince. Okay? His name, Siddhartha Gautama. There you go. Okay? According to tradition, this guy is young, he's affluent, and he's sheltered. And one day, in his super affluent life as a Indian prince, he gets mad. He gets mad, and he leaves. He's like, I'm tired of being rich. He says, I'm tired of being rich. So I'm going to go on a journey. So on this journey, he sees an old man, a sick man, a poor man, and a dead man. And what he decides is nothing lasts. Nothing lasts forever. All the money in the world, all the health in the world, all your possessions, everything dies and causes people to suffer. And I don't like it. So on his 29th birthday, he leaves his wife. It's like, I'm done with you. I don't want to cause you pain, so I'm leaving. Oh, by the way, he leaves his infant son too. You know, no impact at all. And he says, I'm going on a journey to find the meaning of life. So he wanders for 6 years. He does all kinds of different things, yoga, starvation. Finally says, forget this, I'm done. Sits down beneath a tree, says, I'm not leaving until I figure out the meaning of life. No, the apple didn't fall on his head. That was Newton. Nice try. But a few days later, he figured out, he thinks he understands. So he gets up and he becomes the Buddha. The Buddha, meaning the enlightened one. That's what it means. He spent the next 45 years of his life teaching the path to liberation from suffering and establishing the monks. So, here we go. Like every week, question, what's the Bible? Now, as we're all aware, on the screen going to be the Buddhist Bible, the Christian Bible. Okay? Kinda. Let me explain something to you real quick, okay? What do you mean, which one's correct?
They're both correct. Whoa.
Whoa. Okay, Buddha, Maruda.
Wait. So, every week, I've brought you the scriptures. I had a problem this week. I started looking into the Buddha Bible. Well, it's not the Bible, but the Buddha Holy Book. And I had a problem. This is my problem. That's the Buddhist Holy Book. Literally, all of these books. That's the Buddhist Holy Book. So, needless to say, I really like you guys, but not enough to read that whole book in 1 week. So, there is minimal Buddhist text on the screen because I'm not reading all that, okay? But here's the overarching picture here. There's two different types of Buddhists, the Theravada, which is like the conservative, and the Mahayana, which is more the liberals. They follow three main different texts. They call it the Tripitaka. Tripitaka. Okay? It's enormous, as you can see. It contains what the Buddhists believe to be sermons, teachings, and the life philosophy of the Buddha.
What's the difference?
The different books. Okay? The Tripitaka was written centuries after the Buddha died. There's no manuscripts or any recorded eyewitness verifying anything more than the teaching or anything actually verifying anything more than the fact that he was alive. Yes. I'm not saying it's true. I'm telling you that's the facts. So again, they're relying, just like previous religions, on the traditions passed down from generation to generation. So, the next big question, obviously, that's not the Bible. Okay, next big question, who is God? According to Buddhism, the consequences of acts in this life will impact your next life through a process called reincarnation. Okay? They teach that we must gain knowledge and meditate to stop the cycle of rebirth. So basically, all of y'all, this is not your first life. It's your second, third, or 700th. Okay? The ultimate goal of Buddhism is to achieve or enter nirvana. Not the group, okay, not the band. That's their state of thing. They have three core principles that they talk about. Rebirth or reincarnation. When a person dies, they return to life as another person, an animal, or a god. The spirit or soul does not move on to the next life, but the consequences do. So, if you get up and walk during my message, that's going to be a consequence in the next life. Whether you're a person, an animal, or a god. So, their third big principle, karma. Hey, I'm talking, not you. The principle of karma teaches that everything that happens to a person in this life, okay? So, yesterday, lovely Miss Danica was probably doing something she wasn't supposed to, like walking around and ignoring my message, fell, hit her head, got a concussion. Okay? Hang on. That happened not because Danica was doing something she wasn't supposed to, but because Danica in a previous life did something that she wasn't supposed to.
What'd you do?
Yes. So, here we go. Buddhism teaches that your actions in this life will impact what happens to you in the next one. There is no coincidence, no divine intervention, and no chance. Everything is a reward or a punishment from a previous life. Their third big principle, Buddhism teaches that a person's ultimate goal is to be released from the cycle of rebirth and suffering. So at some point, you get smart enough, you figure out enough stuff, and you're no longer reborn anymore. So, nirvana is that state of rest. Here we go. So here's a clear background. Here we go. So, DP, I literally could not figure out even what DP stood for. I just know it's in their book. So, no one saves us but ourselves. No one can and no one may. We ourselves must walk the path, but Buddhas clearly show the way. That's in their book. Our book, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. Deuteronomy 6:4. I should really fix my slides so they don't fit. So, Buddhism, there's no God. Obviously, Christianity, one. Now, here's where it gets in. Yes. I believe it. And I totally, because see, I was in your shoes, and that's my little brother. I got in extensive trouble because I would punch him in the face when that happened, which is probably why I'm being punished in this lifetime because of my punching him in the face. Hey, I need you to do me one favor. Stop. Let me answer her question, and I'll get right back to you. Okay? Go. Okay? We'll get there. I will answer that. Yes. Okay. Hang on. Here we go. I'm going to answer the big question. Everybody's tripping out. Right now, I'm going to answer the big question. Okay? Here we go. Ready? There's a skinny Buddha. There's a skinny Buddha. And there is a fat Buddha. So here we go. Most everybody is fully aware that this is Buddha. You are totally and completely wrong. This is not Buddha.
Why does he have spoon ears?
This is not Buddha. This is the Buddha. So here we go. Here's the deal. The skinny Buddha was the Prince Siddharth Gautama in India, the founder of the religion. That's him. The fat one that everybody likes so much is usually very happy and laughing, as we see. He is not the Buddha. His name is Hot-e. He's the Chinese god. Hold on. He's the Chinese god of contentment and happiness. And the god of good luck. He is also an incarnation of Maitreya.
What's his name?
The future Buddha.
Is that just a future Buddha?
No, he's the future Buddha.
Wait, what's his name again?
Hot-e. So, here we go. Hang on. Listen to me, this is insane, okay? This is seriously insane. In Buddhism, the term Buddha is not one guy. It is a name given to an individual who has achieved enlightenment. It is the Buddhahood. So, here's the best part. We have our own Buddha. So, Troy reached a level of enlightenment. He is no longer the fat Buddha. He's our very own personal skinny Buddha. No, I did that. It was really funny. So, don't rub his belly. That would be very weird. You will not get good luck. But here's the deal. Here's the thing. Reincarnation all depends on karma. Whether you become a Buddha or not, whether you reach enlightenment or not, all depends on your life choices. There's an issue with that. By what standard is your karma judged? There is no God. Remember, there is no God. So what standard is your karma judged by? And remember, depending on your life choices in this life, you're either incarnated as an animal, a person, or a god. So who determines where that line is and what you get reincarnated as? So, moving on. Here we go. Next question. Who is Jesus? Most Buddhists actually considered Jesus to be an enlightened human being. He would have made it to Buddhahood. I did not make that up. That is in the text. Okay, made it to Buddhahood. But he is not the son of God because there's no God. So the Dalai Lama is kind of the leader of the Buddhist religion. He believes that Jesus is a fully enlightened being. He also believes that Jesus has lived many previous lives, and that his purpose was to teach a message of tolerance and compassion. to help us become better human beings. He was reincarnated somehow. The same way we were, I guess. I did not read the Triptych, so I don't know. Here we go. So, heaven and hell, okay? Buddhism does not teach eternal life spent in either heaven or hell after death. Buddhists consider it hell to have to endure suffering over and over and over and over and over and over again on earth because you're being reincarnated. So, the closest thing they have to heaven is their nirvana or enlightenment. I don't know about you guys, but this kind of sucks. There's like no hope for heaven. There's no hope for anything. Just like this ultimate eternal sleep thing. No heaven, no hell. It's either keep getting reborn or go to sleep forever.
I don't know.
So, again, in Buddhism, our actions determine how we're judged. But there is no judge, so who knows who's actually judging you? Depending on the karma, you get reincarnated, higher or lower species. Here we go. According to what deeds are done, do their resulting consequences come to be? Yet the doer has no existence. This is the Buddha's teaching. Nothing. On the other hand, here's the Bible. And just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He'll come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. So, the Buddha created a list of customs or standards or rules or something that we're supposed to live by. Now, he can't judge you because he's dead, but here are the standards. The Four Noble Truths. Okay, this is their big thing. Life is full of suffering. That's truth one. Okay, so just deal with it. Basically, the word suffering is similar to our word of sin, but it's not a brokenness of suffering in the relationship with God, but a breaking consciousness. Suffering is caused by craving. Humans suffer because there's a great divide between what we have and what we want. Our dissatisfaction, wanting to get what we don't have, and desires to hold on to what we do have is the fuel that keeps the fire of selfishness burning. The only cure is to release oneself of all desires. So suffering will cease only when craving ceases. If someone wants to be free from suffering, they must remove themselves of all desires. That includes food, by the way, just FYI. Yeah, you cannot desire food. Here we go. So, suffering, hang on. He's not the Buddha. He's not fat. He's not part of the religion. No, he's not the brother. No. Suffering can be eliminated by following the noble eightfold path. This teaching tells us how to empty ourselves of desires. So what is the noble eightfold path? We've just gone through four. Here we go with eight more. Right understanding. Understanding reality as it is, not just as it appears. Right thought. Changing the pattern of thinking. Right speech. One speaks in a non-hurtful, non-exaggerated, truthful way. Right action. Wholesome action. Avoiding action that would do harm. Literally, kill nothing. No bugs, no nothing. So, right livelihood. One's way of livelihood does not harm in any way oneself or others, directly or indirectly. Right effort. One makes an effort to improve. Right mindfulness. Mental ability to see things for what they are with clear consciousness. Right concentration. Being aware of the present, reality within oneself without any craving or aversion involves deep meditation. And oh wait, there's more. The five precepts. No. So, abstain from harmful living beings, abstain from stealing, abstain from sexual misconduct, abstain from false speech, and abstain from intoxicating drinks and drugs. They're not high. They're enlightened. He's probably not going to make himself into nirvana. So here we go again. In Buddhism, there's no God, so there's no need for salvation because your actions cannot offend anyone. But your actions don't offend somebody, but somebody judges whether they're good or bad. Just let that sink in for a minute. They don't offend anybody, but somebody determines if they're good or bad. The ultimate goal is not salvation, it's nirvana. Each step on the Eightfold Path, back here, must be perfected in order to be enlightened. The process of perfection relies entirely on the effort and achievement of a person to free themselves from all desires. Again, Christianity teaches we cannot earn salvation. So here's again their book. It's one of the teachings. Men have, O young man, deeds as their very own. They're inheritors of deeds. Deeds are their matrix. Deeds are their kith and kin, and deeds are their support. It is deeds that classify men into high or low status. The Bible, for by grace you're saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it's God's gift. Not from works, so that no one can boast. In Titus 3:5, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. So what does all this mean? Buddhism is a religion based on human effort. We can really never be certain if we'll get to enlightenment or not. If not, we just keep getting reborn forever and ever. Buddhism teaches that our desires are too strong and we must be released of them. Christianity teaches that our desires are too weak and we must lean upon God's strength to overcome them. Christianity tells us that there's a healthy and God-honoring way to fulfill every desire that we have. Buddhism cures the human condition by getting rid of yourself. Christianity cures the human condition by submitting ourselves to Christ. Again, everything that we do in life depends on what we do with Jesus. Either he's an enlightened being, and maybe we all hope to be there someday, or he really is the solution to every issue that we face. Every suffering, every desire, every problem that we have is fulfilled inside Jesus. I'm with you. This is about as crazy as it gets. Oh, there's worse. There's much, much worse. Just know, the next time you walk into the restaurant to eat the Chinese food and you rub the belly of the statue of the fat Chinese god, it is not Buddha. Yes. Wrong religion. We'll get there. So, because he's the god of good luck. He's the Buddha. I mean, if you believe in luck and good karma. Okay. Y'all go small groups. Answer the questions.